Jace here. This interview is with Charles Soule, the exclusive writer for Marvel Comics. He also has a creator-owned project over at Oni Press called Letter 44. That's the first book I ever read that was by Charles, and it made me a huge fan of his. I don't read much Marvel, but I do tend to pick up the books that he writes. He's got a couple of new Marvel titles coming out when Marvel goes all new, all different in October. Probably the title that's gotten the most headlines is Daredevil. So I'm certainly looking forward to that from him. And I'm still enjoying his creator-owned Letter 44 book every month from Oni Press. So on to the interview. Let's hear what Charles has to say. And be sure you're picking up Letter 44. All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source coming to you at the end of a long San Diego Comic-Con Sunday afternoon. Charles, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I'm here with writer extraordinaire Charles Soule. I wonder if you could give our listeners a little background. Did you grow up reading comics?
I certainly did. My first comic book was an issue of Fantastic Four that my dad picked up. He ran into the drugstore. Back then, you would like leave your kids in the car when you ran errands.
Right.
So we ran in, and he came out with the Fantastic Four for me and some other issues for my brother and sister. And I read that one, and what happened, well, it was shocking to me at the time, but the story in that comic didn't end, right? It was a big cliffhanger at the end of it. The Fantastic Four was like captured by Asgardians or something like that. And I'm like, well, this is not what books do, right? Books are supposed to have a beginning and an end. And so, it was from that moment I was hooked. I wanted to know what was going to happen in the next issue. So, yep.
Okay, but then you actually went to school to be a lawyer.
Yes, I mean, it cuts many years later.
Right,
I'm in law
right.
school. I graduated from law school a little while ago, and I've been practicing law ever since. I still do.
So where did the idea come why I want to write comics?
Well, you know, I'd always had a lot of creativity in the things that I did as either hobbies or things that I spent a lot of time doing. So I spent a lot of time on music. I'd always been a writer. And getting out of law school, like as soon as I took the bar exam, I realized, wow, I'm actually going to have to be a lawyer now. And I understood the time demands that beginning lawyers are working, working 80 hours, 60 hour weeks, really, really long hours. And I was very nervous about my ability to continue playing music within a legal environment. So I said, well, even if I can't play gigs, I can always write. No matter what time of day or night or morning or getting up early, whatever it is, I can always write stories. So I started working on a novel, actually. And I got, people sort of dip in and out of comics. I was a little out at that time, but then I was pulled back in by Brian Michael Bendis' Ultimate Spider-Man run.
Okay.
And then it
classic
was sort of,
stuff?
Yeah, really, really good stuff. And from then it was sort of off to the races. A couple years later, I was going to my first Comic-Cons and meeting people and figuring out how the business worked. And then, I guess, cuts a lot longer, and here we are today.
Well, my favorite book of yours that you write is Letter 44.
Thank you very much.
Just an amazing book. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the seed. How did that idea start?
Absolutely. So Letter 44 is a book about, it's about two things. It's about sort of, the presidents, and it's about space travel. Real NASA style, no warp drives, no lightsabers. It's the actual, how we put men up there, men and women up there. So that's always been a fascination of mine, from Apollo, from Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, all the way through the space shuttle to the space station to the new Orion stuff. I've always loved it. And I remember thinking, when they announced that the last space shuttle mission was going to go up, which probably would have been 2011 or so, they said that, we have an end date to this program. I was very depressed, because even though the space shuttle was sort of just a truck going up and down to low Earth orbit, it was still a spaceship that we had, that mankind had, and its purpose was to fly out, come back. And I found it to be very kind of a bummer that, the Moon and Mars missions had been canceled at that point, and the space program seemed it was on a low ebb. So I thought, well, what would convince us to go back out? What would convince us to put all the resources back into space exploration and space travel? And it occurred to me that if we found aliens out in the solar system somewhere, an alien construction or alien presence, we would be out there as fast as we could. So that was kind of the seed of it. Letter 44 is about a U.S. president who takes office. On his very first day, he finds that the previous administration did, in fact, find an alien presence out in the asteroid belt. They're building something. We don't know what it is. And the previous president did all sorts of things. He started wars. He tanked the economy. He did a lot of things to try and make sure that he would have the funds and resources he needed to build up kind of a secret army to fight the aliens when they came down. But now the new president has inherited all this. All of this stuff is his problem to deal with. There's a manned mission that goes up to see what's up there. So it's the story really has those two tracks. It's about this new president dealing with being president with all these unexpected problems and conundrums. And it's also about the brave astronauts who are going up out into space to find, you know, to make first contact, really. I think of it as House of Cards in space. And I love it. We're on issue 20, or coming up on issue 20 very soon. Three arcs have come out. More issues to come. It comes out from Oni Press. I'm very proud of it. I'm glad to hear you like it.
Yeah, I mentioned to you last year that in a way it reminded me a little bit of the TV show 24.
Yeah.
And you told me that it wasn't a coincidence that there were a number in both titles.
Yeah.
In a way, I feel like the action of the book is kind of an homage to the show 24, but I feel like your book, Letter 44, has more social commentary, more relevance, I think, than the TV show. And I know they're different mediums, so perhaps that has something to do with it. Is that something you do consciously to put that social commentary into the book?
Well, I think if you're writing a book about U.S. presidents or world leaders of any kind, I mean, right now in the third arc, where World War III has started, word has gotten out. This is kind of a spoiler if people aren't reading the series, but maybe that'll sound interesting. So World War III has begun, and I think whenever you're dealing with presidents or government leaders as characters, social commentary comes along for the ride, unless you're not doing unless you're not sort of doing a thorough job of writing what a president's experience is like, because their whole lives, from the minute they get up to the minute they go to bed, it's all, you know, social issues. That's who they are. So for me, it seemed like a natural fit. Like, I don't think I could write the book without those aspects to it. But it also, it's nice to, you know, any creative work can be a vehicle for commentary or expression or analogy or anything like that. And Letter 44 works really well for that, but I think a lot of my other work does too, hopefully.
Okay, and it's a finite story, right? Beginning,
yeah,
middle, end, you know.
Issue 35.
35.
So with this third arc, we will be about, you know, we'll be at issue 20, which is sort of a little over halfway. So we're on that ride. It's amazing.
I'm very curious to know what's going to happen. I love the book, so I'm excited. But I do have a feeling that 35 will be bittersweet. I won't have Letter 44 to look forward to. But you'll have other work coming, and I can look forward to that. And let's talk a little bit about your other work. You're working on Inhumans for Marvel.
That's true.
I've always been a fan of Black Bolt. Always been a fan of some of the lesser-known characters. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the whole counterculture of comics kind of thing. I don't necessarily want to follow what's most popular. I like some of the more secondary tier characters.
Sure, sure.
So let me ask you, what's your favorite thing about writing Black Agar Boltagon?
Black Bolt is great because he's a writing challenge. Black Bolt, his power is anytime he speaks or makes a noise with his mouth, basically, a huge blast of incredibly strong and intense cosmic energy goes out that incinerates anything on its path, which means he cannot speak very much. He can't have chatty dialogue like almost every other comic book character can. Which means as a writer, your challenge is to A, make any word he says really count, and B, figure out how to tell stories with him where he doesn't speak at all. And so you need artists who are willing to buy in on that and are great with emotions and just showing people facial expressions. And I've been very fortunate that the guys I work with, you know, Ryan Stegman, Joe Majerera, Pepe Larraz, and now Steve McNiven on the Inhumans books have been as spectacular as they are. So it's really, really fun and challenging. But, you know, if you're not challenging yourself, why do it, sort of?
Right, yeah, I love the scene in, I think it was Inhumans Zero, when he first gets to Kang's castle.
Sure.
And it's barely a whisper, and devastation.
Well, you gotta, Black Bolt is and has been one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe for a long time. And so you really need to be judicious about using it. I mean, if he got really mad and yelled, it'd be, you know, a nuclear bomb kind of situation.
Right.
So it's great.
And also, a recent announcement was Daredevil.
Yes.
So, obviously, with your background in the law, a lot of people were hoping that you were going to follow Mark Waid and Chris Samnee's excellent run on the book.
Sure.
And I read that you're going to make him an assistant district attorney, so he's kind of going to be on the other side of the bench, so to speak, or the aisle, I should say.
Yep.
So, did you ever work as an ADA? Are you drawing on personal?
I never did.
Okay.
My experience in law has been primarily immigration work, which does have a litigation component to it.
Right.
But a lot of transaction work. I was trained initially as a corporate lawyer, you know, business law and deals and such, contracts, and then I moved to the immigration. So for me, I mean, you know, as part of your legal training, your law degree, you study litigation,
right,
the way the court system works and so on. But I also have done a fair amount of sort of talking with ADAs and ex-ADAs that I know about the way that that office works. It's the Manhattan DA's office. It's
right.
a very particular place with its own procedures and you know, so on. So you know, I'm going to bend, and it's the Marvel Universe, so I can. It doesn't have to be completely accurate,
right.
but I still want it to feel real and legitimate. I think that... You know, I'm a lawyer writing a lawyer book, writing perhaps a lawyer writing the lawyer book. You know, She-Hulk too, but Daredevil's really the, I think that's the one when people think of lawyer superheroes, they think of Daredevil. So it's a big challenge following Mark and Chris for sure, but it's also, there's pressure to it because people expect me to get that stuff right. So I'm trying to do my homework and trying to write something that's compelling without being too lawyery and dry. So we'll see.
Well, even though you haven't worked as an ADA, I can speak because I have some friends that have.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure, you know, being a lawyer, it's a small circle, much like comics.
Yeah.
You know, you're local. So I'm sure you're going to be drawing on their expertise.
Oh, for sure.
And
for
I know we can count on you to get it right. Or as right as it needs
as
to be
right
to work
to be.
For
there
the story.
You go. There you go. As right,
right
as it needs to be. Absolutely.
Right. Do you? I know you have some other creator-owned work that you're working on. You have a novel. Is there anything you want to kind of tantalize us or tease us with?
Well, I had some very good meetings this weekend or in San Diego about some of the new stuff. I can't really... I just... You know, ideas lose their glow if too many people know about them too early. So I want to talk about the new creator-owned stuff when it's ready. The novel, I just finished a pretty substantial draft recently. I hope that's something I can be talking about in more detail soon too. But you know, really, it's a great time. I feel really lucky to be working on all the books I'm working on, to have readers interested in them and paying attention to the stuff I'm doing. You know, my artists are like I'm working with Ron Garnia and Daredevil, and his pages are some of the best I've ever seen. So. I feel very almost blessed. You know, it's an amazing thing. So,
okay, my last question.
Sure.
One character, any publisher, but an established property, not creator-owned. One character that's at the top of your list that you still would like to have a shot at or put your stamp on.
Yeah, you know, I get this question a lot, which is, you know, it comes up, right? And I think the character that I've got a really good Captain America, or Steve Rogers story in me. So we'll see if that ever happens, but I'd love to do it someday.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for taking some time, Charles.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And listeners, I hope you're out there reading letter 44, excuse me. And it gets my highest possible recommendation. It's just a great book. It hooks you right from the start. So get out there and pick it up today.
All right.
All right. Thanks.